Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program here on American Family Radio. We are live video streaming the show today, as we do most days here on AFR. If you'd like to follow us there at our Today's Issues Facebook page, live video streaming. I had a question yesterday about the hat I wear. And I had this question last year. Yeah, I wear this hat in the winter. I say winter.
As the temperature drops.
It's late fall here, yeah. Okay. And yes, the temperature is the same year round in the studio. I understand that, but it's just a psychological thing, I think.
Yeah.
So
what do you
call that? The hat. Some people call it a golf hat. Other people, a paperboy hat.
I don't know.
It's a half a hat. You know, it doesn't have a bill.
Name. But I mean, listen, it's a free country. You want to wear a hat?
I'm for hat freedom.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? I think you know.
Make hats great again.
But anyway, there's various and sundry names for this particular kind of cap. All right. Steve Jerdahl has left the building all dressed in black. Did you notice?
Yeah, he is about once a week. He comes. He's all black.
Yeah.
I think that's more the Oakland Raiders kind of thing.
Johnny Cash
thing.
But
we did that one time for you. JJ and I did. This goes back several years ago when you turned 50. You remember? We dressed all in black.
I'm 54 now.
Yeah, for Trivia
Friday.
Yeah,
y'all did dress all in black for Trivia Friday, yeah. Yeah, representing a morbid attitude?
Well, yeah, we're in mourning. You turn 50, you know how people get when...
50 is the new 30.
Yeah. Really?
Says people who are 50.
Well, I always get a kick out of people. 54, you're going to be describing yourself as middle-aged.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Yeah, so that
like
means...
you're going to 108. Yeah. Like that's the average.
I don't even want to live to 108. Although my dad, I've told you this before.
Yeah,
he says...
You got good genes.
The only one who doesn't want to live to 100 is the guy who's 99.
Right.
The rest of us say, I don't want to live that long. He said, well, wait till you get to 99, right. you will.
Yeah, everybody wants to live to be 100 except the guy who's 99. Yeah, I think I'll take 105, not 100 anymore. Anyway, your dad's
87.
87 and going strong.
Yeah.
Actually,
88. He just turned 88 in August. He's engaged to be married. I'm serious. He's in January.
I'm going to his
wedding in January in
Is
Florida.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well.
Are you officiating or?
No, he's Catholic, and so I will do a reading.
Oh, okay.
A priest will do.
They'll let a Protestant do a reading?
Yeah, they will.
At a Catholic wedding?
Yeah, because I guess the reading is non-official. It has no real sacramental bearing.
Gotcha.
So,
all right, we'll leave the rest of that discussion to Bert and and Alex in the afternoon. On church doctrine. How about that?
Yeah.
Chris Woodward,
yes,
is with us today, wearing a plaid shirt and khaki pants.
No hat.
I don't know why I'm feeling the need to describe the clothing of our reporters today here.
Representing the Atlanta Braves in the World Series they're not playing in.
Wow. They got
rebuilding.
A long way to go, don't they, Chris?
They do. But the Nationals are kind of
you have
not
two teams,
yet,
do you?
So.
You just said Nationals and Braves.
Well, the Nationals aren't they're not in the series either. So
well, what brought
I think
up
the Braves
the Nationals?
Can,
you were talking about the Braves, and all of a sudden you flipped.
Well, I was just explaining that, you know, I'm supporting the
colors?
Braves. You mentioned the Raiders and Steve, so I'm a Braves fan. I actually like baseball the best.
Now we're mixing football and baseball, Chris. Are you trying to confuse me intentionally? Is that what you're going
with? No, sir. No, sir.
Chris Woodward here from American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com. All right, Chris, get us going here.
All right. Something you're going to hear about today, the administration, Trump administration officials say President Trump is going to be directing the government to declare the opioid crisis a nationwide public health emergency. This is clip 4, Brent.
The president's due to give a speech on the opioid crisis here at the White House this afternoon. While officials say an emergency declaration does not come with specific funding to fight the crisis, they say it will open things like more access to medical services in rural areas. At campaign rallies in hard-hit states like New Hampshire and West Virginia, candidate Trump pledged to make fighting opioid addiction a top priority.
That is AP correspondent Sagar Magani reporting. When it comes to expanding access to medical services in those remote areas, the AP says advocates worry, even though they will not make a difference in fighting a problem that kills tens of thousands of Americans each year. Nonetheless, something's got to be done. This has been debated for a long time. We talked about candidate Trump pledging to make fighting this a top priority.
How do you fight that?
Well, first, define what an opioid is.
Okay, that's very good. Opioids, according to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, opioids are a class of drugs that include the illegal drug heroin, synthetic opioids such as fentanyl, and pain relievers available legally by prescription such as oxycodone, hydrocodone, codeine, morphine, and many others. These are things that have either been prescribed to people and people abuse those, they've been overprescribed. People still abuse those. Other people want things done. This might impact how doctors prescribe things going forward. That will be an issue.
Because they're very addictive.
They are very addictive. And certainly, you know, kids can get access to their parents' medicine cabinet even when mom and dad think they are protecting this.
I'm not sure. I'll be interested to see what – I think it's okay. I think it's appropriate certainly for the president as the CEO of the country to bring attention to a problem that we have. A serious problem that we have nationally, which is this opioid addiction. Opioids, is that how you pronounce it?
Opioids. Mm-hmm.
Addiction problem. But what you can do about it from a government level beyond what we're already doing, I'm not sure you can do much. Aren't these now, the big problem is not so much the heroin, which is illegal.
It's the prescription drugs.
But it's the prescription drugs, the painkillers.
Right. Rush Limbaugh got addicted.
Oxycontin.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is a whole host of examples of where government gets involved in something to try to make the situation better. They actually make the situation worse. It creates a black market. The war on drugs certainly.
I'll tell you one of the things I've read about and that the government could do, if people think this is an appropriate use, because this is again goes to the question of how you use money, but allocating more money for people to go into rehab. Because you know, for people who are addicted to legal drugs, they're not in trouble with the law. So the question is, how can they get help? And some of these places where they go to rehab are insanely expensive.
Oh sure.
So I don't pretend to understand how to because some of this goes to our moral decay.
Let me ask you this. I don't mean to.
Okay.
This is not an issue to make light of. Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to do that. But is codeine on that?
Codeine is on this, yes, sir.
Now, I got to tell you, they take the codeine out of my cough medicine? I got a problem.
Well, and you know, there is precedent for that because a lot of people have been using cough medicines and other things to make meth.
What?
A number of states have...
You use cough medicine to make
meth? I have no idea. I thought you used like drain cleaner and stuff.
Yeah, Drano.
They use all sorts of things to try to make meth from various sources. And because of that, a number of states in recent years have cracked down on things like that, which is why, let's say if you went to one state, you would have to have a prescription to buy something that was commonly an over-the-counter drug, whereas in another state, you didn't have to have that.
Let me just say on a serious note, I was having a little fun with that codeine thing. But on a serious note is, I tell my wife, you know, usually once a winter, I'll have, like a lot of people, I have a hack or a cough or you know, whatever, where you can't sleep.
Yeah.
You know? And so we've got some of that cough medicine prescribed by the doctor at home with the codeine in it.
I didn't know
what was in it. I didn't know, you know, I don't know drugs that well. Mm-hmm. But I asked, you know, Allison, you know, so what's in this? Because it knocks me. I sleep so good.
Yeah.
When I'm on this drug, you know.
Yeah.
And so on this cough medicine, which includes the drug. So what I'm saying to you, there have been nights I've thought to myself, well, you know, I have anxiety tonight.
Yeah.
Or I have things racing through my mind. Not anxiety in a where I need to be clinically treated. But
right.
But I'm worried about something or I'm thinking about something. Something's heavy on my mind, so I can't sleep.
Yeah.
You ever been there?
Oh, sure.
A lot of people have been there. So I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I need to go in there and get some of that codeine.
Yeah.
I'll sleep good then. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
that, to me, that's no different than getting a prescription for a sleep aid.
I know.
But what
know,
you're
well,
saying
my point is
it, you can see the
human
temptation.
Human nature mm-hmm. being what it is, my example is, as you say, is not as serious as some people's, but I could see where somebody would get, like, say, they had chronic pain.
Problem. Like Rush Limbaugh, he had back. He had like
chronic
something
pain.
Wrong
you
with
chronic
his
pain.
Back.
If you got chronic pain, you don't care about whether an opioid is being, you know, is there you, all you care about is I need relief mm-hmm. right now. So I could, with these drugs being so readily available,
right?
I can see how this kind
and,
of
and doctors, would you know, prescribing them fairly. I tell this story. I had sinus surgery about I don't know, probably 18 years ago. I won't go through all the details why that was necessary.
No, please.
Yeah, because it was anyway. So the doc, up to that point in my life, I hardly ever, even if I had a headache, I hardly ever took Advil or anything. Mm-hmm. I just thought I don't need it.
Right.
So they prescribed me something because you're going to be in a fair amount of pain because they had to go and scrape the sinuses. It was bad. And so they prescribed me something. And to this day, I don't remember what it was. All I remember was laying on the couch for about 2 days. And feeling wonderful.
Right.
I told my wife, I said, I can see why people would get addicted to this stuff because you feel great.
Right.
And
right.
That's the temptation. The temptation is you want to feel that way, not have to, like you said, not have to mm-hmm. deal with stress or anxiety. People who have chronic pain or who are in chronic situations that they don't ever seem to resolve themselves, and you go, I need some help. And
yeah.
The prescription is readily available. I can see where this could turn.
I give my wife Allison credit. She's got a high pain tolerance because she'll go get something done at the doctor and they'll tell her, here, you need to take these pain pills, and she'll say, I'm gonna see if I can do without them.
Yeah,
because people get addicted to them,
right?
And so anyway, she takes the attitude, I'm not gonna take anything like you did,
yeah,
unless it's absolutely necessary,
right?
To do so. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So is the president going to speak about this today?
The president is going to at least order his health secretary to declare the opioid crisis a public health emergency. He may speak on it. He has been very open to media in the last few days, so we might see something from the president himself.
All right. Okay. What's next, Chris?
All right. Well, we have JFK assassination files being released today as well. Thousands of classified files on the JFK assassination are scheduled to be released today, and USA Today says they could reveal details of assassin Lee Harvey Oswald's trip to Mexico City just 2 months before he fatally shot President John F. Kennedy in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. This will no doubt open up more of the conspiracy theories that more than one person was involved. But the documents could be embarrassing to prominent Mexicans, so says USA Today, who may have provided information to the CIA and other U.S. agencies in the days before and after the assassination. So definitely something to watch there as well.
You know, this the Kennedy assassination is rivaled only by Area 51
right.
in Roswell, New Mexico, mm-hmm. for people who just do not believe the story that they've been told. By Roswell, that's the place right. where supposedly the flying saucer mm-hmm. crashed and the government's been. But the Kennedy assassination, this is still one of those things that
right.
Fascinates Americans, and there are a lot of people who just don't believe the story they're told.
Yeah. The television channel that's now just referred to as History, that's all they used to play before Pawn Stars, before Vikings and some of the other programs they've come up with on their own. That was always their go-to program, especially around this time of year leading up to that day in November. And they still, every once in a while, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, will be something on the JFK assassination. So Oliver Stone and other people might be very interested in the information that will be released today.
And part of the thing that I think that fueled a lot of these conspiracy mm-hmm. theories is the fact that these files have been secret for so long. They've been sealed. So everyone's always going, well, I just want to know what's in those files, and I don't believe what I'm being told
right.
is in them.
A number of the people that were in the White House at the time or worked in that administration have passed.
Right.
Caroline Kennedy is still around, but a lot of the members of that family have passed away.
You do have to ask the question, what purpose does it serve to have this delay? Is this the anniversary? Why now?
Has it always been 54 years?
Was some sort of timetable deadline to it. And that's generally the case with what people would call public information, therefore it needs to be released. I'm not sure why it was 50-plus years.
Well, President George H.W. Bush, so Bush 41 in 1992, signed an act, which required the government to release the remaining documents within 25 years' time, stipulating that the president is the only person who could stop any of the documents from being released. I'm reading from a Fox News story. So for some reason, that this was 25 years from now, and maybe it goes to the fact that most of the principal people would no longer expect to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think, Chris?
Well,
What's your opinion?
What is your opinion? Yeah,
go ahead, Chris.
I don't have an opinion. I mean, I have no idea who.
I will go. I've talked to a number of people that were either alive or were watching television and are aware of the situation. I will go with the opinion that Oswald acted alone, based on the conversations I have had with people, not just what I've learned from a government subsidized textbook.
Okay.
So why do you think Texas nightclub owner Jack Ruby shot him? Just because he killed maybe his favorite president or something?
That remains an open mystery, but I will tell you what is an interesting connection there is our own Charlie Butts in the newsroom right now, working as hard as he always does, was actually there when Ruby shot Oswald. I kid you not.
We need to get him over here on this program. Talking about Charlie.
You know the amazing thing about Charlie Butts? People will know that name.
They know
name
his voice.
And know his voice.
From the news.
My understanding from Fred Jackson is you guys will be sitting around a story meeting, and Charlie will say, "Yeah, I was there."
Mm-hmm.
He's had quite a career in terms of.
We joke that he was there when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments. Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of stories, but 9 times out of 10, and I will even go to him like, "Hey, were you there? Where were you when Elvis died?" Things of that nature.
Yeah, Charlie, I was at the water cooler one day. He said he was on the Apollo trip.
Yeah,
he said, "Come on, Charlie, come on."
Yeah, I did, but he was so convincing.
Yeah,
you know, he said, he was there with Neil Armstrong and everything.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing.
So you actually believe we landed on the moon?
Right. Well,
that's another big.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Thing. It's all been faked.
Oh yeah,
we never did land on the moon.
They filmed that in Arizona.
Yeah, something like that.
So anyway, these files will be.
Well, people are going to. They're going to pour over these.
Oh sure.
Yeah, we'll start finding out stuff. Yeah. If there's anything in them.
Let me ask you this question, I'm not a big student of this particular case, talking about the JFK assassination. I've watched some videos on it and everything. I never read a book on it exactly, but could it have been that the communist, i.e. the Soviet Union, wanted him dead, talking about JFK? So could they have been behind this because of the Cuban Missile Crisis? Mm-hmm. And things of that nature.
The Bay of Pigs.
Right. Those things. JFK was very anti-communist.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The only thing, and I have, like you, I've seen some documentaries on it. I think I watched Oliver Stone's movie. So I don't really have a dog in this fight. He was assassinated. Right. It was a tragedy. But that's the only thing I've ever wondered. I don't believe it was the CIA. I've always wondered, was this communist inspired?
Right.
Because of that very thing.
There are people in the Democratic Party that might learn something from JFK being anti-communist.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's a different Democrat Party today altogether. Let me ask you this, too, in terms of security for a president.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a game changer? Because the president was exposed that day,
it was an open motorcade.
Open motorcade with thousands of people looking on. And it was announced ahead of time as a parade.
Right.
And I was just going.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
that wouldn't happen today. I'll tell you that right now.
In fact, you don't even. Most of the time, when you see a line of cars, motorcade going by, it may be a fake, and the real motorcade. The real president may be in another vehicle in another motorcade, and so. That's a good question.
It probably changed security for sure, but even President Reagan, 20 years later, was shot walking to his car.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
There are
they don't let you get that close anymore with secret security. Right. I've been in Washington many, many times and seen many, many presidential motorcades. And in fact, last June we were at the Supreme Court with our tour group when the presidential motorcade came because the president was there to swear in or have some kind of ceremony for Neil Gorsuch, the new Supreme Court justice. So President Trump was there.
Right.
And it was rumored, you know, President Trump may come out front of the Supreme Court to do photo opportunities. I think we had to leave, but Neil Gorsuch did come out, the Supreme Court justice, but the president did not come out with him. And I was thinking, you know, the Secret Service, they don't want the president exposed
right.
like that anywhere.
Well,
remember during the inauguration? When they were at the Lincoln, I'm talking about President Trump's inauguration. They were at the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah.
They even at the White House for the parade, they had the bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
That the first family sat in. So I mean,
go ahead. A week or two ago, I was in D.C. for the Values Voters Summit.
Yeah.
And had some family with me, so we did some sightseeing, and while we were over there near the White House, you can't get as close as you used to be able to. We saw the two helicopters coming, Marine One, Marine Two. They were coming to pick up the president, and two helicopters come in with an Apache or something guarding them, and only one took off, and the other one, and so later on, the other one took off, and so I thought, they don't want anyone knowing which one he's in, you know, because it flies
usually
over
they
people.
Have three.
Yeah.
Usually, when they come in, when they're flying over D.C. back to the White House South Lawn, they will have three. So two are decoys.
And it shouldn't have to be that way. You know, right. I mean, there are stories of Lincoln walking by himself to the War Department to read telegraphs during the Civil War.
Well, it's a different world.
It is just a
different world.
Pray for the president and the Secret Service, for sure.
Absolutely. There have been no fence jumpers in a while, though, have we?
Well, within the last few months, I thought somebody tried to.
Right.
They pushed that security fence, as you saw when you went to the White House 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They pushed that security fence back across the street there on the north.
Yeah.
On the north side.
And I think 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is blocked off in terms of the street.
Yeah.
I would imagine there probably has been someone that's tried, but there's been so much other stuff going on that you just have to pick and choose.
Well, when President Obama was in office, wasn't there
he got in the White House.
He got in the White House.
Yeah, you wonder what the Secret Service is doing there.
Yeah.
You know, how does that happen? Anyway, all right, we've got 1 minute left,
right.
Chris.
One other thing to pass on to folks, got some developing news here out of the House. The House of Representatives on Thursday, today, narrowly approved a $4 trillion budget that paves the way for Republicans on the Hill to begin focusing on tax reform. Here's what's interesting. The vote was 216 to 212, with 20 Republicans, including conservatives, unhappy about deficits and debt, opposing it. Republicans could lose only 22 votes for this to pass. I'm not sure who voted against it. We'll try to get that for you today on the website, onenewsnow.com. But this is another issue, kind of like health care, that is going to be a divisive issue going forward.
Mm-hmm. $4 trillion. but what's the big deal?
Other people's
Four
money.
Trillion, $5 trillion more. Spend it.
Yeah.
Spend it while you got it. If you don't have it, print some more.
Right.
I'm just kidding, folks.
I'm glad we're out of time.
Yeah.
I can get more cynical than Ed is.
You're the boss.
Right there. All right. We are at, go to our website, Today's Issues. That's not our website. That's our Facebook page. Today's Issues Facebook page or our website, American Family Radio's AFR.net. For all the news you need to see, go to onenewsnow.com. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed.
You're sure welcome. I enjoyed it.
Tomorrow's Friday again.
I know it. It's again, Trivia Friday.
Learning University will be on the air in 22 hours and 30 minutes. We'll see you back here then.